Good morning, Charles. How are you today?
Hey, good morning, Bill. I'm wonderful. And you?
Well, can't complain a bit. We've been having September weather here in November, so it's been very mild, almost like summer, it seems like.
Well, that'll probably come to an end, won't it?
Well, it usually does. We had a big Armistice Day blizzard, back the first year the station went on the air in 1940, but they don't have anything like that in the forecast this year, I guess. So. We will be ready to go in about a little over a minute here, so I'll hook you up here, and you'll hear about the newsman, and then as soon as he's done, we'll be live, okay?
All right, sir. That sounds good.
All right, and thank you.
Thank you.
Degrees in the Twin Cities topped a 2001 record of 71, with highs around the state between 25 and 35 degrees above average. Records were also set in Duluth, Eau Claire, La Crosse, Mankato, Rochester, and St. Cloud. A new survey ranks Minnesota as the 33rd fattest state in America, worse than a recent federal report that showed the state was 41st for obesity. The Washington financial website Wallet Hub looked at each state's most recent rankings for overweight residents, unhealthy habits, and food and fitness trends. It ranked Minnesota 22nd for food and fitness, 27th for overall residents, and 37th for the least unhealthy habits. The recent report from the U.S. Centers for Disease Control said Minnesota's obesity rate was 26.1% last year, higher than just 12 other states and U.S. territories. Mississippi was the fattest state in the Wallet Hub survey. Utah was the thinnest. And police throughout Minnesota urge parents to check their kids' remaining Halloween treats to make sure none are tampered with. By the end of last week, at least three communities in the Gopher State had reports of tainted treats. In New York Mills, a needle was inserted in a Snickers bar. In Beltrami County, Bemidji authorities were told about a sewing needle in an Almond Joy. And in Big Lake, a muscle-relaxing pill was stuck on a Kit Kat bar in a partially opened wrapper. I'm J.P. Cola, News Talk 1340 and 96.3 FM, KWLM.
Thank you, J.P. Currently 53 degrees under mainly cloudy skies. We're very pleased to be joined live here on KWLM by the National American Legion Commander, Mr. Charles E. Schmidt. And Commander Schmidt, thank you for joining us today. And this is a very important week as we thank and recognize all the terrific contributions our veterans have played in our nation keeping us free, and certainly a beacon of hope, we hope, for the rest of the world. Again, thank you so much for joining us today, and thank you for your service.
Well, thank you, Bill. Good morning, and it's a great privilege to be with you and the folks of Minnesota. It is an important week. We have Veterans Day coming up, and, of course, we have an election of our next president of the United States, so a lot of good things happening. We also don't want to forget the men and women who have served this country, past, present. Also, not to forget and remember those who have passed since their service to our country. And also, Bill, remember those that have yet to come home from their service from afar.
Right. Well, this is an important anniversary with the 75th anniversary of the attack on Pearl Harbor. Probably we were never the same after that attack. And what is the state of readiness right now in the opinion of the American Legion as to our military today?
Well, Bill, as you know, we got some great men and women serving in our militaries, protecting our country. And as the founding fathers of the American Legion back in 1919, after the end of World War One. As they were preparing to come back home, one of the concerns that they had was the national security, the defense of the United States of America, because they had fought the big one and didn't want to go to another war again. And of course, we're also this day and age concerned about the national security of our country. It's a vital interest around the globe and those of our allies. And as long as we got those interests, as long as there are challenges, We're going to need a strong national security, national defense, which means a strong military. And in the founding principles of the American Legion Bill, defense is one of those factors, one of those things that we pay attention to, just as those concerns were back in 1919. So we're an advocate for a strong national security, national defense to protect our great country and its vital interests.
Yeah, and what a different world we live in, you know, roughly a little over 100 years later now, certainly. You know, even in the campaign here for president, especially Mr. Trump has mentioned, you know, our contributions to NATO and the fact that probably maybe we are actually funding more than our fair share over there. You know, it is a good part of our budget is defense, but can we be spending our money more wisely, do you think, and getting more for our dollar?
Well, Bill, as we've been chartered by Congress in 1919, chartered as a nonpartisan organization, we're not going to take sides to whatever candidate there is, but we believe that we need to use our national resources wisely to protect the vital interest, and as I said before, that is also includes on the battlefield, but after the battlefield, when the men and women come home, those veterans that have served our country, a grateful nation that sent them there should also, once they come back, kind of take care of them and support them. So we believe that it's important to give them what they need to finish a mission. But also, once they come back, is also to show their appreciation and gratitude by taking care of them as a grateful nation would have.
Now, you know, there's been a lot of stories done on the situation with the VA healthcare system. I think it was overdue that it was brought to light that there were some shortcomings there. Do you think we're on the road to getting things corrected with the VA healthcare system? What's the feeling there among the American Legion?
Well, Bill, there was some shortcomings. Of course, in the spring of 2014, the American Legion recognized them, and as a veterans service organization, the American Legion stood up, made a bold statement that there had to be changes in the VA, and there has been some changes in the VA. I had a discussion with the Secretary of the VA just a few days ago, and we talked about some concerns on both sides. The American Legion has an interest in the VA because we helped start them, get them started in the late 1920s, early 30s as the Veterans Bureau, as it was known then, and of course now it's known as the Veterans Administration. But we have an interest in the VA, and the VA was designed, Bill, to take care of veterans. And they have been taking care of veterans, particularly in the healthcare area, ever since its establishment. And what better healthcare system to take care of veterans than the VA? Because, as I say, they've been doing it for quite some time. They're very familiar with the illnesses and wounds, and even those hidden wounds that come out later on after your military service. And they more or less specialize in health care for veterans, particularly the signature wounds of Iraq and Afghanistan, such as post-traumatic stress disorder and TBI, traumatic brain injury. So we believe that the VA is a system worth saving. Now, it's a huge system because it gets taxed more with more veterans because, Bill, as we all get older, particularly my era of veterans, the Vietnam veterans, then behind us was, or before us, I should say, was the Korean veterans, and then before them, the World War II veterans. So us folks, us veterans in those wars, obviously some of those hidden wounds have come out, plus as we all get older, why health care becomes more important and we have greater needs. But also in the younger generation, the Iraq and Afghanistan veterans, as they come home, you know, those signatures of war, those wars have come to light. They have needs as well, and not to mention the Panama, Grenada, and Somalia veterans, and those Lebanon veterans as well. So the VA is being taxed on both sides, you know, in growth in clientele. So they continue to serve, and no doubt, unlike the civilian healthcare systems, I'm sure they have their problems as well. So we continue to work with the VA, with friends of the VA, and Bill, friends are honest with friends, as we were back in 2014. Like, something has to be done, and we're going to continue to work with them because we believe it's a system worth saving.
All right. One final note here, and that's homelessness among our veterans. Is this a big problem nationally?
You mean the VA health care?
No, I mean among the homeless status of some of our veterans, the fact that, you know, they are actually basically, maybe they've got some mental issues or what it might be, but, you know, they're out on the streets more or less.
Sure. And that's true. And from the latest statistics, I understand there's about 50,000 homeless veterans, and of course there was many more than that, and a lot of communities and a lot of service organizations have tried to work on that and to eliminate that homelessness. However, there's still some remaining out there. In my travels, Bill, I've ran across places as like Manchester, New Hampshire, in Colorado Springs, Colorado, where there, the American Legion is helping with entities that welcome veterans off the street to try to get them kind of settled in and help them get jobs, kind of get back in the flow of things, get their life back to normal, build that self-esteem, and get them on their way back to normalization. So I think it's still out there. We still have work to do, all of us, whether we're veterans or non-veterans, to help those and care for those who have cared for us through their service in our armed services.
Well, again, Charles, it's terrific to hear from you today. I want to wish you and yours the very best. And again, we thank all veterans, not only on Veterans Day, but every day for serving our nation. And certainly it's a very worthy tribute that it seems like it has come a little more into the forefront. And, you know, you just see more and more organizations getting behind the veterans, and I think that's just terrific.
Oh, I think so. And, you know, and many, many veterans, Bill, would gladly serve their country again. And you know, veterans, every veteran has invested in America through their service in the armed forces. And also, while they've invested and served with one another, each of us have established a bond with one another. And that bond carried us through our military services. Not only in peacetime, but wartime, we relied on one another to take care of each other. And I think today that bond and that investment in America and the bonding with one another, I think that's still relevant in every veteran's heart. And in the American Legion, Bill, we have two mottos. One is veterans serving veterans, and the other one is veterans still serving America. And we've been doing it since 1919, and we're going to continue on way beyond our 100th anniversary that we're getting ready to celebrate.
That is terrific to hear. Well, again, Charles, thank you so much for the work you're doing, and we wish you and yours again the very best, and thanks for being our guest today.
Thank you much, Bill. It's been a pleasure.
All right. Take care now.